We at Stormbuds are going to have to make a change of plans. Specifically me. Going to have to make a change of plans in January. Due to things that will make sense at the end of this opening segment. Does that make sense, Alex? So we're going to shake up the formula a little bit here. We're going to do a quiz segment before the opening credits because somebody's plans for January got completely upended by current events.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to make it a quiz anyway. That's going to be a hint for you because you are going to guess the theme. I am going to list to you the four games I was going to make us play for my winning predictions of Dawn Trail story. If you're new here, that is what happened. I predicted more things that would happen in the events of Dawn Trail than Alex did.
Yeah, so in hindsight, I predicted a lot of really interesting things that didn't happen.
I also had interesting things, and some of them did happen. So I'm going to list out four games that we would have done for January, and you are going to guess the theme. Let's see if you get it.
Okay.
First game, Life is Strange Before the Storm.
Okay.
Second game, Heavy Rain.
Okay.
Third game, To the Moon.
Okay.
Fourth game, the fan translation of Mother 3. What could they have in common?
Time travel and trauma?
Close. I don't think there's time travel in Heavy Rain.
Oh, no. I don't fucking know, man. There might be.
I don't think so. But that's pretty close. I'll give you a hint. It's a play on a very...
J-Sanuary?
Close. It was going to be Cry January.
Oh, Cry January.
Yeah,
okay.
As opposed to Dry January.
All tragic games?
Yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah, no, not really in the mood.
No, absolutely not.
These days I'm in the mood for some Super Mario Brothers, you know?
Oh my God, yeah, no, sorry. It was funny too, because I was just in a conversation with Senior Bud Zaff being like, hey, you should play this game. And I was like, I'm going to divert. I was like, man, it's been a while since I really felt any grief. Not anymore. I'm good. I'm good now. I'm good now.
I think we're good for a second.
Yeah. All right. And I think with that being said, I'm ready to resume our search for gold. Are you?
I certainly am.
Here we go. Earth, wind, water, fire, and a whole lot of heart. As we delve into Golden Sun. That works.
Buds, storm of buds.
Sure.
Never going to tell
don't sure me.
About how we
song's playing.
The world.
Hello, everyone. It is I, Dutch Jerome Barbatsis. I looked up some clips of Gold Member. I was not doing enough, turns out.
Yeah, no, you're getting
closer.
I hear it now.
Welcome to Stormbuds. I, and of course, your golden boy of light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I'm joined by my co-golden boy of light, Alexander Hambrock. Say hello to the buds.
Groovy, baby.
Wow.
That was a very American Austin Powers I just did there.
Groovy, baby. Just Austin Powers from Dover. That was great. Welcome to, of course, the video game podcast with a themed month. Every month. Every month, themed month.
We're working on
I'm
the pitch.
I'm actively working against the pitch and making it worse and worse. Every time. But this month's theme is Goldvember. And we are on the search for gold. And today we are talking about
Camelot Software Planning's
classic Game Boy Advance RPG Golden Sun. Golden Sun is half of an RPG. released for the Game Boy Advance. Tell us more about the details of Golden Sun. Alexander, that's who I'm talking to. I'm not talking to you out there. You are fine. It's just Alex. I'm spying for time while he's looking it up.
Because I'm double-checking something.
It's good that we hear fact-checks. Fact-checking is not against the rules here at Stormbuds. Turns out. Is that too soon?
Maybe a little bit. Okay. Yeah. So Camelot is a developer best known, well, I guess best known for a number of different things. They made the Golden Sun games, but prior to that, they made a bunch of Mario sports games, which is why people were confused when they were made an RPG. But prior to that, they made a bunch of Shining Force games, which are games that I really like a lot. And now that I know that fact, I can actually put a bunch of things about what I like about this game together in my head in ways that make more sense.
Yes, you mentioned that to me, that Shining Force is sort of your Secret of Evermore in a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways it is. And now that I think about it, a lot of design elements in Golden Sun are suddenly kind of snapping into place in a way that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yes, this game, as I mentioned, is one half of a story of RPGs that came out on the Game Boy Advance. The other half is, of course, Golden Sun, The Lost Age, also considered a sequel.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, they didn't finish the game. Like, they weren't able to get it over the line, so they kind of split it in two.
Or... is that what happened? I thought this feels very intentional to me.
I saw that on a fan Reddit, but maybe I'm wrong.
I think, I don't know, because, I mean, it's also the fact that these Game Boy Advance cartridges might be small. We're speculating here. But basically, it's just kind of a two-parter here. And this first part follows the journey of Isaac, a villager from the village of Vale with psychic powers. Everyone there kind of has these psychic powers. And he and his bestie, Garrett, train up with their other bestie, Jenna, at first, to become really good psychic adepts because they were traumatized by an unnatural disaster, I guess.
It turns out the booby trap in the temple at the top of their village, when activated, creates a giant storm that destroys the village. Kind of, the booby trap's got a bit of collateral damage on it.
Yeah, that's almost Diablo-esque. Like... these people just like built this village around this really dangerous thing that could explode the village at any time. But that's, I suppose, how the way of things. They, there's a lot of kind of trauma at the start for these poor children at first, which was a little upsetting. But once you get past that, you get a really great meaty RPG. It's a whole lot of fun. I would say overall, I'm really enjoying it. I'm pretty close to the end.
I've
been kind of shotgunning this thing. It's not perfect in a lot of ways. I would give it. I'm like on my way to the Venus Lighthouse, which is like the final dungeon, but I've got the other optional dungeon to do. So, the story of this game takes place over the course of these like imagine Final Fantasy V, an old Final Fantasy game where you have those like wind, water, earth, and fire temples.
Yes, very
right?
Classic sort of like structure. Yeah.
Golden Sun takes place over the first two of those temples, and then The Lost Age, which I have not played, I assume goes over the other two or like finishes the story in a way that the other two aren't needed or whatever.
That is also the impression that I have.
Yes, I know the premise of The Lost Age, and it's very interesting, and I'm very interested in playing it. I don't know that I'll get to it, but I might. I don't know. Another thing that's really revolutionary that this game does is that there are certain things you can do in the Golden Sun game, the first one, that will help you if you transfer your save data into the Golden Sun, The Lost Age.
Oh, I love this shit. I love when games do this. Mm-hmm. I associate that with like computer RPGs, especially from the 90s, like your Baldur's Gates and stuff. But
yes.
Doing it in a Game Boy Advance game is very cool.
Very cool. Really interesting technology that they... and like a progressive game for its time. This game came out in 2001. So yeah. not too far after... The game's not too far after like Final Fantasy X still, but the Game Boy Advance game is like, I think hardware wise a little bit still underneath like the Super Nintendo. And I would say that my first kind of qualm with this game are its visuals. I think the colors themselves in it and the sprite work is fine, but I think a lot of it sort of blends together in a way that makes it really difficult to tell what you're able to interact with and what you're not able to interact with. It's a little better if you lower the screen size a bit. I tried. I was like, maybe I'm just playing it on this big freaking monitor and it doesn't hold up. But I'm like, no, it's not. That doesn't really make it that much easier to see because I'm still like, ugh. But I think part of it is that a lot of the times, in the art style, a lot of the times a lot of games will just have a stark black outline around like your player characters or things like that. This game eschews that, and I think it eschews it in a, maybe in a direction that is maybe too far into the natural setting. It does. There's some darker values around the characters, but they're not that much darker, whereas in something like Secret of Evermore, you could see that they very rarely use black outlines in that game, and they're like, and I'm obsessed with that game, so I look into the sprites and I'm like, oh, these are actually like really dark greens and dark blues. So there's, I think, a way to maybe that they could have made the game a little more visually clear without making it super cheap looking and changing the shape. That's something you have to worry about too when you use an outline that's too dark, is that you really change the overall shape of your characters. And there's not a lot of real estate that they're working with here. It's like, yes, 256 by like 114 or something. Like, it's not, there's not a lot. So I'll give them like grace for that. I know they're not working with too much, and they've done what they've made with what they have is still on the whole pretty beautiful. I just was getting frustrated at times being like, where the hell, which part is the climby part?
Yeah, like, I agree with that for the most part. I will say, I think in general, this world, for a number of reasons, feels a bit more lived in than I'm frankly used to from a lot of JRPGs, especially old 2D JRPGs like this. One of the reasons for that is that, speaking to the sprite work, though, there is a wide variety in NPCs, and there are a lot of them.
Yeah,
good all point. Of these villages feel like they have lots of different people living in them, and they all have different sort of interesting things to say in a way that feels like a step up from, frankly, the way that a lot of like villagers and like a Super Nintendo like Final Fantasy RPG village really don't seem to have much to do or any kind of like personality or like or anything to do other than stand around and kind of be like a prop for you. These spaces feel like sort of like you are like entering into somewhere where a lot of people live and have their homes, and yes, I think it's kind of it's a really neat sort of touch that like I'm finding the writing of this game is okay. It is like a lot of it, I think, also is a bit constrained by the fact that on the Game Boy Advance, it's mostly a bunch of short little bites because you can only fit so many characters in a text box.
I would push back on that. I think Final Fantasy VIII has a similar constraint with its text boxes, but maybe that's like part of their design, but like they were very judicious with what they were saying, as you said, but they were able to convey a lot with a little. Whereas this game, it's like, there's like a puzzle later on. Every time they're explaining something, they just go over and over again. It kind of feels like Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Sure, yes.
A lot of the ways. And it's like, you must go into the depths and then turn the blue and red and green and white and yellow rocks in that order. And then Ivan will be like, so we have to go down to the basement and turn the blue and red and yellow and white and green rocks in that order?
Sure,
and then,
right, okay.
Yeah,
so, yes, I agree with you there. It is very verbose in that way, and it's kind of simplistic. So like the actual writing I think is just okay, but I am surprised by how I think good the narrative is. Like the actual story stuff going on, I'm digging more than I expected for a couple of reasons, which I think, and this actually I think ties back into like some of the Shining Force comparisons. I can make that connection now, which is that like the world and the systems within it and the things like the psychic powers all seem to kind of like inhabit the same plane of social reality such that like people are aware of things and they have impact on their lives, and it's not just some sort of like abstract combat system that only exists when you're in the combat interface. Like I'm thinking in particular about that one guy you meet who has the mind reading power, and how like there's like actual conversations about like, hey, it's kind of fucked up to have someone read your mind, I don't like that. And then like, and like it, like it's like these characters seem to sort of like be comfortable having opinions about things, quite frankly. And also Isaac is not an amnesiac, which means that he has a history and he has a relationship to other sort of like characters in the world, and like, and all of that stuff ends up making the whole thing feel a little bit more grounded than I think that I often run into in some of these, like especially these retro JRPGs.
Yeah, speaking of relationships with Isaac, Did you try and go back to talk to Dora after you're supposed to leave?
No, I didn't.
God, she's awful.
What does she say?
She's just like, who is at my door? It can't possibly be my son because he said he would never come back unless he was done with his mission. So, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, you didn't, like, you didn't show up. She, one, didn't show up to say goodbye to her own son, because I guess she couldn't handle it. Great, way to make it all about you, Dora. Like, two, when you go back to meet her later, it's also not great. It's also just not, it's not a pleasant interaction. And then I was just like, you know what, fuck you, Dora. And I read her mind.
What did she say?
Well, she's always like, oh, I hope he knows that I love her. And I'm like, I really fucking didn't.
Nope, you gotta say that shit. Didn't you can't just through. Keep it in your head.
Did not come through, Dora, but hey.
I think a good example of what I'm talking about is, there's a scene very early on. We're going to spoil the first 45 minutes of this.
This game's old.
Yeah, you get to the back of the big temple above your village, and you're collecting sort of like, you know, these like elemental power stones for this old man who probably shouldn't have been
terrible influence. Yeah,
no, really bad influence. But anyway, the bad guys show up and they're like, give us the power stones. And then they take one of your friends hostage.
Yes.
And they take one of your friends hostage and they outline very specifically. They're like, hey, we're going to take her hostage because one, like, her brother is with us. He's one of our guys. And so that way they'll trust that he wouldn't let anything befall her. And so therefore, like, you know, the hostage taking is legitimate. And two, because she is your friend, if we're holding on to her, then we have leverage over you. And I don't know.
I'm confused about that.
Oh, see, that makes total sense to me.
Why? Because it's like, to what end?
Basically,
to get that, like, they, one, they take the hostage. Two, they leave Isaac and Garrett for dead in the thing. So they just take this hostage for no reason, ostensibly. They're just like, they don't know that Isaac's going to survive. They just have this person with them that's kind of dead weight, but not really. Like, not really. Like, Jenna kicks ass. In the brief moment that we get to play with her, I was like, I don't remember there being two fire types in this game. And then I remembered that, yeah, Jenna is not in the main party for this one. Anyway, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me because, one, they kind of lose the collateral immediately. Two, I know that they want to bring back this power because they think it would be really, like, I don't think this, like, I think that's enough. Like, I think if they're ahead of us with the elemental stars just doing that, what do they need Jenna and the old man for? Maybe that's answered in the Lost Age. Maybe Felix, like, needs them for some reason. Maybe that's a mystery. But to me, I'm just like, this additional dynamic. Plus, this additional dynamic makes these cutscenes at the lighthouses and whatever else you meet them take forever.
Okay, sure, right.
They take the cutscenes so long because, oh, also, I have your hostages now, and I'm going to spend the next 20 frames talking about how, no, you can't let them do, or whatever. I don't know. There's just, I think it's just one too many moving parts for the early game of the story.
Okay.
I know that they're setting up for something, but I'm fast forward.
I think all that's fair. I think just, like, I was struck by the fact that with the hostage taking, they bothered to kind of, like, leverage the specific personal relationships at play, as opposed to what so many games and, frankly, so many media stories do, which is just like, we're taking a hostage and you care because the idea of someone being in danger is a bad thing in the abstract and you're a hero and you don't want to let it happen, right? Like, this game is, like, a little bit more invested in, like, making the relationships between these characters kind of matter in a way that I just that I'm digging.
Yeah, and it sucks. I mean, it doesn't, like, it's not that, like, losing Jenna doesn't feel bad because she's a kick-ass mage that you have in your party. She has a shit ton of damage and then they take that away from you. That's fine on its own. I think that setup is there. I'm curious to see what the payoff will be, because right now the cost is just like it's just a little bit dragging on with the threat of the return of alchemy and the hostage and the long journey and this is just another one of those games where you're always too late.
Sure, right.
Like,
that,
okay,
can be frustrating.
We've talked at length about that with Diablo 4. It's the same deal. However, I know that the sequel is kind of the inverse of that because of the kind of flips the narrative on a script. I'm really interested in that. Let's talk a little bit. Do you have anything more you want to say about the story or settings or writing or anything?
I think a lot of this game feels bespoke in a way that I'm enjoying, right? A lot of different types of NPCs. All the villages feel very different. Like, you know, it's got a lot of sort of, like, care put into making different areas feel distinct. And I think that that's cool.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that the world is interesting. The writing is lengthy and repetitive, and I think the I've mentioned my complaints about the visuals as well. Mm-hmm. Again, as striking and interesting as they are, they do lead to some frustrating gameplay. And I think that some of the aesthetics get in the way of the gameplay in a way that is a little not perfect for me. But speaking of the gameplay, it really does, this thing really does shine when it comes to its RPG combat, especially, I mean, again, 2001, but even like it holds up to, I would say it's similar to in funness to like an Octopath Traveler or a modern Persona game. I think it's really interesting how there's this loop between these little monsters you equip to your characters called Djinn, that will alter the elements of your characters that you can then use to change your characters' classes in between combat and things like that. Or you can spend those monsters in combat and then use your standby or spent monsters to summon bigger elemental forces.
It's kind of like a GF system.
Yes, but like, and then the elemental forces then automatically over time re-equip to your characters, and you can loop things that way. And I'm finding myself changing my strategy from dungeon to dungeon based on what seems to be stronger at the time or more appropriate with how many more Djinn I am acquiring. Speaking of acquiring Djinn, hey guys, anyone who wants to play this game for the first time, walkthrough. Just do it.
That
just
is also
just do the walkthrough. There is some esoteric shit you are not going to get on your first try without any sort of knowledge.
That is also a Shining Force thing.
Yeah,
that is also extremely a game with a million missable characters.
Do you have to sit through a couple of text boxes every time you search a barrel?
No, it's like, no, that bit's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, because like if you go to a barrel and you click A, the game will tell you Isaac searched through the barrel and didn't find anything. Like, yeah, I know Isaac's searching through the barrel. I told him to do that.
I find it fascinating that this game in some ways has some incredible quality of life stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like the auto option to sell the old equipment after you buy the new one, amazing.
Great.
The battles move very quickly. The animations play out fast, and it is possible to get through a combat encounter.
Most of them. Some of them kind of chug because there's too many little circles and sparkles on them.
But for the most part, I think the combat moves pretty quickly. On the other hand, like you said, the text moves really slow, and maybe most importantly of all, Isaac, my man, could you move at a jog occasionally?
Yeah. Oh my god. I have bound fast forward to my right like second trigger. It is so useful in this game. It is, oh my god. Just it, there's so much that's slow, like rolling logs. God.
Increase the walk speed by like 30%.
Seriously.
Womp womp. I misunderstood him at the time. I have since informed him that you can run with the B button. He did not know that. And I'm throwing him under the bus, and there's nothing he can do about it. Ha ha. Womp womp.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of a slog in a lot of ways, but the combat and gameplay is not one of them. I have been running. I remember when I played this a long time ago. I just kind of stacked each element on each character, like I was just mega. Because like I didn't. I was like, well, why would I mix and match when like stacking Isaac a whole bunch is with his earth stuff just makes him really strong. But there's some interesting stuff you can unlock when you do experiment. Right now I'm not at the point where I can unlock the tri classes yet with like three elements. I'm close.
Okay.
I'm close. You need to have like six Djinn on everyone to do that, to like balance it out. But I've been running like Isaac with water Djinn instead, which is really cool. I think that's like the swordsman line or something.
Okay.
And it turns into like a paladin kind of. Garrett with the wind Djinn, which turns him into like, what's it called? Illusionist or enchanter or stuff. It's super cool. He gets these like stars that he can shoot out at people. And I'm like, hell yes. Garrett's my man. He's probably my favorite of the characters because he's a little bit hot headed and stubborn and stupid. I've got, Ivan with the earth Djinn.
Okay.
Which turns him into a druid. So he's kind of like got nature magic and healing spells as well. And so does Isaac, like the earth stuff. And then the fourth character who you've not unlocked yet, because I don't think you said you were at...
No, I'm not there yet.
No, so she's in the Winter Village. Her name's Mia, and I gave her the fire one, which turns her into a water monk, which I think specializes in like very wide ranging spells. So like
okay, which is
five,
good.
Seven, pure, like, pure stuff like out. You just get a lot of AoE out of that. So far that one hasn't been like super powerful or my favorite, but the other three have been working out so well. I don't know, maybe the water monk will turn better, or and I'm just at the point where I'm going to be able to start experimenting with like the tri element classes and other things in the end game. So.
Yeah, I gotta mess around with that. I didn't even know that the mixing and matching like unlocked different sort of classes.
Yeah, it does. It changes your classes. It changes the synergies you have access to. You have to do it, I think, to get growth to unlock some of the like, because like you see mm-hmm. little sprouts growing in some of the zones.
Sure, yeah.
And then you have to sometimes just have to do it to solve some of the puzzles too, which is excellent and fantastic. And it's expounded upon in the sequel where you are then like, I think the cap is like you can equip 7 to any one character. There's more djinn than that.
Womp womp. No, there's not. Womp womp.
Boy, okay. A lot of djinn to track
I think,
down.
But like in the sequel, I know they go up to 9, that much more mixing and matching and stuff like that. Currently, like for the large majority of the game, you're either stacking your elements one-to-one with like they're matching them just to power up, or you're like swapping one element over until late in the game Golden Sun. But again, all that save data carries over into the sequel, and that's like the rest of the actual complete game. So taking that into mind, I'm not going to hold the fact that the customization really doesn't unlock until the very end of the game, like doesn't fully unlock till the very end of the game, too much against it, because I know that they had this plan to like go to infinity and beyond, and it's excellent. It's fantastic. Like I find myself shifting between wanting to do fast summons, big summons, and then wanting to just use magic, that new magic that I've acquired. Once like my spells kind of get rote and tired, I start shifting over into using summons instead. It's keeping me really interested.
Some of these spells are pretty cool. Like I appreciate like just like the different sort of like aesthetic, like you know yeah. stuff for the spells.
Mm-hmm.
Volcano.
Yeah, Ragnarok is an earth spell. That's one of the ones that will really, really slow the frame rate down a little bit. But I think that's a good summation from my end on what I think of Golden Sun and how I've been enjoying it. How about you? Is there anything else you want to mention about the gameplay, exploration, any sort of...
Just to like, I get why people have a real attachment to this game, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, again, it is sort of a not to belabor the Shining Force comparison, but like part of why I love that game is because it was something that felt like it had sort of like a lot of nooks and crannies to it, right? Like it's like a lot of things to discover, a lot of sort of like weird dynamics that you can mess with to produce sort of like, you know, like interesting results. Like it felt like something that rewarded you kind of poking it and prodding at it and kind of like pushing at the seams a bit. And I feel that already in Golden Sun as well, which I think goes to the point that you're describing with all the different djinn combinations.
Yeah.
And the different stuff going on there. And you know what? Hey, maybe Isaac should have been in Smash.
Maybe now you get it. Because he has a whole lot of moves they could have pulled from, too.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. The thing is, they just didn't really continue with the franchise. And also, you're allowed to make as many Shining Force comparisons as you want. Because I make all of the Secret of Evermore comparisons to every game imaginable. Especially ones that don't really merit it. We are so in our second half of this episode, we're going to continue talking about Sea of Thieves, but of course before that we have to just, we've been talking so much about this wonderful game Golden Sun that we need to take a little break, and you know, in the break I am going to go do a full set of 5x5s and high intensity interval training. And then we'll be right back.
All right, should be like, what, 3 to 3.5 minutes then?
Yeah, not too long.
We're gonna read some ads.
Hi, my name is Alyssa Basement, and you might be wondering, what nationality is that name? And I'm gonna say, that's none of your business. If you're like me, and you have a name that gets caught by early 2000s online game profanity filters, then you've had a real hard time registering for a lot of websites and a lot of times. Take it from me, Alyssa Basement. It can be really hard to verify your identity when you're trying to sign up for a Costco membership online, and they won't let you put your last name in because it has perceived profanity in it. That's why I invented the new sensor.
The new sensor?
The new sensor. That's right. It's a smart sensor that will only censor words that are actually profane and horrible, and not words with other words in them.
Sorry, just to clarify, S-E-N-S-O-R or C-E-N-S-O-R?
S-E-N-C-E-R.
Got it.
H.
Got it.
Okay.
New sensor.
Mm-hmm. New sensor. You might be wondering, what ethnicity is that word? To which I say, still, none of your business.
I'm still not certain where the profanity is in your name.
Oh, really? Okay. This is fun. This is fun when somebody doesn't get this one. I get to give them a puzzle, okay? Now, work this out in your head. So, spell my name out, but take out the bat. Basement.
Assment?
So, when I said take out the bat, I meant take out the B-A-T. He's got his hand up. He's counting. Uh-huh. He's carrying the one. There shouldn't be any ones. This is simply spelling.
Smen?
I cannot believe you just said that into the microphone.
Got it.
Okay. I cannot believe that. That's I've had this a lot. That's a first. That's a first that when they get it, but they don't get it. That's really a first.
Man, I went to school for math, okay?
Okay, sure. Yeah, you didn't do one spelling test. Okay, never played Hangman in your life. Got it. Won't have you on my team for Couples Wheel of Fortune.
I understand the issue that you run into now.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
It's clear to me.
And take it from our wonderful testimonials.
Hi, my name's Gary Fuck. I see you've caught on to the issue I was having. I see... Is it like
ambiguous? Like F U C H?
No, it's just Gary Fuck.
C K.
Yep. I can't even get my name changed because they think I'm putting in a profanity in the name change form. I'm stuck with this. But new sensor fixed it right. Actually, it really didn't fix anything. It's still just Gary Fuck. But I appreciate the sentiment. That's Gary Fuck.
Okay, Gary. You can go.
All right. Fuck out.
Okay. And for our final testimonial, we bring on a very special guest. Hello, it's me, back from the dead, Marvin Pence Gay Jr. I was an American soul and R&B singer, famous for songs like Ain't That Peculiar, How Sweet It Is, I Heard It Through the Grapevine, and, of course, Let's Get It On.
I've got many of your albums, of course.
Yes.
Wow, Here in the Flesh. Here in the revived flesh.
Yes, I'm back. And this is what I sound like now. Hey, death does some weird shit to your vocal cords. And my name, I wasn't alive for the new sensor, but I would have really, really appreciated it had my passport application not been rejected because of my name. There's an E at the end of it. Stop calling me that. I'm not. I've made so many really straight songs. I had two wives. And three children with those wives. What else do I say now, Alyssa? What else can be said about new sensor?
Anything. I would like to know anything about the new sensor.
Well.
How much do we get paid for this one?
Hey, I don't know. She just showed up at my door. And when I turned around, after she was like in my house after I closed the door.
All right, I guess we're sponsored by New Sensor this week. Check that out. They probably have a website.
No, there is no website.
Oh, how does one purchase the New Sensor?
You just need to know that it exists and that the New Sensor is watching you. Goodbye. Whoa, she turned into mist. Alyssa Basement, where did you go?
That is one of the more perplexing sponsorships I think we've ever had.
I don't want to fucking hear it, okay? It's a hard week. Well, I only got through about two of that 5v5.
You'd like 2v5?
Two, or 5v5. I meant 5x5. Whatever.
Five by two?
Yeah. Now, 5x2, 2x5, those are reciprocal, I suppose, is
who's
the
on third?
Fancy words. Anyway, after one leg gave out on the one, then the other leg gave out on the other one. So that's, I'm just going to be wheeling around my apartment for the next week.
They say work out to failure.
Yeah. Oh boy. Did I work out to failure? I work out to failure so far hard. My father disowned me.
But tush.
Anyway.
We played some Sea of Thieves.
Anyway, we played some Sea of Thieves. We're talking about Sea of Thieves all month, which is a bit of a change of pace for us. We normally like to talk about these story games, but today we're just talking about a fun, lighthearted, light service game.
I'm appreciating that fact about it.
Yeah, it's nice. So it is, of course, the open world pirate game. We were called to sea to explore Sea of Thieves in the Monkey Island crossover event that's going on right now. There is a, wow, they keep going.
God, we're so tired this week, guys.
We're really tired this week, but we're gonna push through it.
Okay, yes, we played the Monkey Island crossover with a friend
on stream. I streamed this part live. I do have the VOD up. Forgot to put my full screen audio track into the VOD track, so you're just gonna hear me
talking. We don't have any game audio.
It's just gonna be the microphone. No game audio. No Discord. So that's embarrassing.
Wait. So you don't get my voice either?
Nope. No, not yours, and not our friend Brian's Discord either. So that's been embarrassing. But hey, that's on my Twitch. You could see us struggle with the puzzles.
Did you play any more of it since then?
No, because apparently we were like 1 minute away from finishing. We just had to talk to the witch.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, like the first section, right? It's like three sections. I assume after that there were two more sections?
No, there was someone in chat who was like, you were like done. Guybrush Threepwood was, I guess they were just married to his wife Elaine. If you're not familiar with the story of Monkey Island, Guybrush Threepwood's kind of a hapless pirate who kind of stumbles into success through these really, really silly puzzles. Really excellent. We've talked a lot about these sort of point-and-click adventure games over the course of several episodes. We're a big fan of them. So it was cool to see Secret of Monkey Island this way. And this is a good Secret of Monkey Island bit.
I have mixed feelings. On the one hand, I think all the Monkey Island fan service was great. Incredible visual style, incredible sort of like, you know, like jokes, gags, all that stuff. On the other hand, not a whole lot of Sea of Thieving really going on.
No, it's not really that. It's just sort of Monkey Island and in a first person environment. Yeah. You're not really like we sail on the ship to Melee Island and then we work on the puzzles there and that's pretty much it. So a little bit of a disappointment when you compare it, especially to something like Final Fantasy XIV cross Monster Hunter. Right? Where it was like, oh, there's a lot of both games in both of these things. In both of them. I don't know. I mean, it certainly probably isn't a Sea of Thieves side in Monkey Island. But, you know, it's not a whole lot of a blend. It's just sort of like, oh, this is a cute story. And it's a lot more fun to solve in a group together, too. Like, it was nice running around the town with you two and searching for all the pieces of eight.
and Melee Island renders really well in the Sea of Thieves art style.
It's very faithful as well too. We just recently played over like last year or the year before the Return to Monkey Island and I was like, oh yeah, I recognize this place. It's good. It was really cool. It's cool to see. And just funny they got all the characters there. They got Murray, they got Guybrush, they got LeChuck. Don't have Elaine. Elaine's not in it.
They got dialogue trees, and the dialogue trees are full of dialogue that is, for the most part, interesting and even funny.
Yeah, very good. Very good dialogue trees, good gags, funny puzzles, a little bit of coordination necessary for some things, which is cool, or just like, you know, it's helpful to have somebody in the sea where we're trying to move the damn crane around and find everything and line it up. So, but not necessary. You could do this solo just fine. If you wanted to, if you have Sea of Thieves, you want to do the event. I'm sure it's been around for a while. We're just getting into it. But yeah, that's, I mean, like, there's a particularly fun sequence where Murray gets a body that I wanted to shout out, which has never really happened. They do a lot. It does a lot to the IP to be in the space with these characters and not so rigid an environment. And we really really appreciate it. I think you should check that out. It's not like. Again, I think I
played most of it in 2 hours.
Yeah, I can echo your criticism in that. Yeah, there's not much like we could tell you everything that happens in that crossover event. I don't think we should.
No, you mostly what you're doing is you're running back and forth and basically like you're inferring from dialogue, and the inference stuff is actually pretty good puzzle design. But then once you've made the correct inference, mostly what you're doing is like finding the right item and then bringing it to the right place.
Yeah, it doesn't really incorporate. Well, there's like a little bit of incorporation of Sea of Thieves mechanics in the way that you have to fish something.
Sure, right.
But like you don't even cook that in the way you would cook it in Sea of Thieves. Or in Sea of Thieves is more like you put something on a stove and you actually have to watch it or it'll burn, which is excellent and fun. And I do want to, I don't know if I mentioned last week that the fishing in this game is not my favorite.
It's fine.
It's
unengaging.
It's better than like Stardew, I guess, because it's not super frustrating, but like they try to incorporate not just reeling in, but also kind of resisting the fish a bit, where you just like move your mouse or a controller or maybe a joystick a little bit. Maybe it's more fun on a controller. I haven't tried that.
I mean, it's no near Replicant.
That's also not fun. I also just am coming from like, I'm like Paul Hollywood and with matcha and rosewater when it comes to fishing in video games. I really don't like it.
That's a specific analogy, but I'm glad that someone else in my life is also watching Bake Off this year.
Yeah. I just watched the episode of Bake Off today. So Nier Automata, I was like, oh, God. Final Fantasy 15, hell no. Did not touch that shit in the slightest. Why was that the character quirk? Why are we doing that? Oh my God.
I mean, we're all just chasing Sega Bass Pro Fishing, right?
Did you say bass?
Bass Pro Fishing. Sega Bass Pro.
You are on a fucking roll today.
I'm sorry. I thought of the Mega Man character.
Oh man, this is classic Storm Butts. I love it.
I'm sorry. Bass is the fish and bass is the robot.
I love it. Love it. I suppose I don't really have, disappointingly, I don't have too much else to say about Sea of Thieves this episode. Wanted to just say, crossover event, good. Fishing, not my favorite. The rest of the gameplay, I haven't discovered it too much, but I did figure out how to wear clothes better and customize the thing better and do all sorts of stuff that way. But we also wanted to just talk about the monkey event. Did you spend any time with Sea of Thieves apart from the monkey event?
Nope, I did not. I also figured out how to wear clothes better, and now I've got a cool dress.
You do have a cool dress. Very cool. Well, we will be continuing to play Sea of Thieves as the month goes on. I'm going to be streaming it today, if you're listening today, on my Twitch, twitch.tv/JeromeBarbatsis. If you don't know how to spell that, it's in the description of the episode, along with several links to our socials, which, we were kind of toying around with the idea of talking to Twitter to get our Twitter reactivated so that we could like log into our old TikTok or something like that. Never mind.
No, we're not doing that. Look, hey, we do have a Blue Sky account. I don't post to it very often, but I really should more, and I'm going to try and make more of a habit of doing that from now on.
Yeah,
follow
why
us
not?
Over there. Hey, it's like Twitter, but there's way less Nazis.
Significantly fewer of them, I would say. I'm no expert on social media, though, but I am we're most active on our email and our Discord as well. So if you want to reach out and let us know your thoughts on games we've been playing or games we should play in the future, let us know. If there's a game I want to play enough, I will make a theme around it. Worry me. You can inspire me. If you want to see a
like
theme,
we basically did this month for next week's game.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Because next week we're playing Rise of the Golden Idol, which is not coming out until next Tuesday. Well, we're recording this the week prior, obviously. So it's coming out Tuesday the 12th, We're going to shotgun the shit out of it, I'm sure. We're going to eat that like candy and record right away because I'm so excited to talk about it. In the meantime, I'm probably going to finish Golden Sun. I might start Golden Sun 2 and talk about that a little bit as well if I want to do a little addendum on that, just because we got the time. And we'll talk more about Sea of Thieves as well. I'm thinking next stream or next week, we might get into some of the not so safe seas.
Oh yeah,
we might start with some of the more dangerous seas because we did some safer sea stuff and the rewards just were real nothing. So we might have to take a little bit of a risk to see what happens. So we'll get a crew up.
God,
we're
going to get our ass kicked.
We're going to get shot to death multiple times, and it's going to be a great experience for us both, a learning experience. What's it like to get a cannonball through the sternum? We'll find out on my Twitch, twitch.tv/JeromeBarbatsis. And also coming up for next month, not the theme, just the end of the year is coming up, okay? This is another announcement time. On the Heavens Awards are coming up.
Yes,
Derek,
very exciting.
The second annual Heavens Awards. Can you believe it? Technically not a different annual because the first annual was in January, but they were supposed to be in December, and then things happened and things got shifted around, and we ended up ending Endwalker in January. But they're going to be in December going forward. We have some schedule announcements that we're going to make clear now so that you have well enough time to prepare for them. The Heavens Awards this year will not be live, but they will mark the end of the Stormbreds year. And we are going to take a winter break.
Yes.
So we are going to take a break for the holidays and the month of January.
Yeah, we are taking January off. There will be no episodes in January.
Yes.
Because we need to basically, you know...
we're going to plan out the rest of the year, and we're going to get Stormbud's direction kind of crystallized and solidified. We spent a lot of really valuable time this year exploring a lot of different ways in which we like doing the show and other like talk about the show. We've seen some episodes do better than others. We've had our feelings about certain episodes that we've done, and we've tried a lot of different things, and we really want to keep growing, and we want to take some time to ourselves to do some of the work that is necessary to do so without also having to just sort of constantly churn out content. You know, that's just how this podcast
is. We need a few weeks.
We don't have any deadlines. We're not beholden to any podcast networks or anything to put content out at any given time. So we want to make sure to take advantage of that time to make the best show that we can for ourselves and for you guys. So that's going to be I'm just going to give you a heads up now so that it's not like a abandonment issue if you're like... I don't know. Maybe that's just me projecting.
We will be back. We'll be better than ever.
We'll be back in February for Stormbugs 2.0. Nope, that's a joke. Unless Silk Song comes out. Hey, can Silk Song come out in February? That would be sick.
I kind of liked the Stormbugs month.
Stormbugs was fun, but we didn't do it justice because we did. We were still kind of in the Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, stuff. Yeah. We were playing.
But then there's a whole lot of bugs that we could talk about still. Maybe. Maybe not in February, though.
February, no.
We'll see. We've got the rest of the year planned out. We actually had the rest of the year planned out a long time ago. But we're going to take that last week of January to spend time with our family and loved ones. Not January, in December. And then in January, take that time to work together to make Stormbuds the best show possible for the year 2025. We are going to keep going strong because of support from you guys. We really appreciate you interacting with and just... Or we actually appreciate you just lurking and listening, you know. I think that is valid, and I hope that the stuff we do will continue to bring you joy. Until next week, when we again talk about Rise of the Golden Idol and more Sea of Thieves, I have been your golden boy of light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I have been joined by my co-golden boy of light, Alexander Hambrock. Say goodbye.
Good evening.
That was also Austin Powers, but that one was from Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Good evening, baby. I don't know. It's like I can't do the voice at all, so I just do the exact opposite of it in every respect.
I think you did it perfect.